All right, everyone, in this packed Monday episode, we're going to talk Battle of the Sexes. We're going to talk about Athens, Lerner Tien, take a title in Metz, the Turin Field, the Women's Year-End Championship. What a great day for everyone. It's a Monday. Let's get going. All right, we're back. I got Jack Sox, Steve Johnson, Charlie Fox, and the team at SIFT. No John Isner this morning. The big man is busy. He will be back on Friday. Let's start with this. This has been in the news lately. The Battle of the Sexes XO with Sabalenka and Kyrgios coming up in about a month in Dubai. Let me go, Jack, your buddy Nick playing Sabalenka. Thoughts on the XO? I don't know all of it. I believe it's one serve only. I think Sabalenka's side of the court might be a little bit smaller. You excited to watch?
I would probably assume I probably won't be watching much of it. Obviously, if I'm around and it's on, I'll tune in for sure just to see what it looks like. I think, sure. I mean, I don't know. I think always growing the sport, always doing new things, always adding, an XO or some element to the game of some event, I think is great. Seems like there's a lot of fans. People love tennis over in Dubai. So I'm sure the crowd will be great. I'm not sure about a smaller court, maybe on one side and one serve. I think it could be a little strange. Nick tends to have a mild effort in ATP events, so I'm not sure about this XO how he's going to be. But I don't know. It'll be interesting for sure. Like I said, if I'm around, I'm definitely going to tune in just to check out the entertainment of it. But I don't really know what to think of it, to be honest. What about you?
I think before I go to Stevie, I'm excited for it. My only issue is I don't trust Nick to try. I would love Nick to play a normal match. 2 out of 3 serves, normal court, and just Nick, try as hard as you can. Let's see what happens. There's zero chance that happens with Nick.
Yeah. He could never put himself in position to lose.
He's going to mess around. He's going to win 4-4, and we're just right back to the drawing board. Stevie, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous, to be honest. If they're going to play, just play all out. If not, I'm just saying, I think this whole thing is ridiculous. There's no need to do it. Just, it's just, we're going to get nowhere with this. If you're especially going to change serves, parameters, courts, the effort from Nick is always going to be a question mark, and that's it. I don't know. I'm not going to watch a second of it, to be honest.
Yeah. All right. No, fair enough.
That's what I think, too. If you're going to do Battle of the Sexes, the court has to be the same size on both court. It has to be just played normal tennis. You can't do, then...
It doesn't make sense to, change rules.
Yeah. Or do winner take all, big chunk. So it's Nick, if you win, you get this. Irina, if you win, you get this. But ultimately, yeah, I think just Nick will mess around and probably still win in, two close sets. And that is what it is. All right. I'm going to watch it, though. Assuming I can find it on TV. All
right. Assuming we know how to find it.
Novak Djokovic winning his home event in Athens. He wins it. Incredible final with Musetti. Start with Stevie. Novak wins it. It's his 101st title. He wins it. And the whole question the whole time, is Novak going to play the year-end finals? Is he not? If Musetti wins this event, he is into the year-end finals, jumping Felix. Ultimately, Novak wins it. And then, right after the match, says, hey, Lorenzo, I'm not playing the year-end. You're in. Congrats. Number one, how amazing was the final? It was great. And two, do you think Novak knew that he wasn't playing Turin prior to the tournament or the final? Or do you think he did make the decision last minute after the actual match?
No, I mean, the tournament itself was awesome. I mean, the theater in Athens was incredible. Just knowing what's at stake, especially for Musetti, who hasn't had the greatest maybe, U.S. summer, second half of the year after his amazing clay court season. But to get himself into a final with a chance to earn, to earn his way in with a win, with a title over Novak was incredible. The match was amazing. There was a lot of passion out there. Novak, this meant a lot to Novak. And I don't think he knew that he wasn't going to play prior to the week. Maybe as the week went on, you can kind of feel in his matches, he was getting a little, anxious, not anxious, but had some strapping on the shoulder, getting a little tired at the end. And I'm sure if he doesn't feel 100%, he's not going. going to the World Tour Finals. It's what he's won it 7 times. He's played it a billion times. Like, he doesn't need to go there. So for him, I think this one meant so much more, being that Athens is his new home. You know, he lives there now. This is his tournament. This one meant a lot to him. So I think he just put everything on the line in this tournament. And you know, there could have been some serious mind games with Lorenzo. He could have made that final a lot easier, I feel like, if he would have like kind of started messing with him mentally in the locker room prior to the match, you know, giving him like little insights on going to turn or not. But overall, an incredible final. Bummed for Musetti that he didn't get a win because he played great, but ultimately he hopped on a quick flight and went to turn.
Do you think, Jack, that it's like a issue for that, for the tour, that like Novak doesn't play the year-end finals and then wins this tournament, you know, and then tells Musetti last minute? So Musetti could have been there the week before and all the photos and whatnot, along with Felix. Or is it just like, look, every player, you do what you want. And the tour, like, if you want to make things different, you got to change it. Does Novak have, I guess my question is, like, does Novak have a responsibility to, like, the tour and the other players to make this decision before the event? Or he's independent guy, do what you want?
Absolutely not. I think, the tournaments are in place. The weeks are scheduled how they are. If they want to see a different outcome for that, or a different, if they want to see a different product for the year in finals, they probably shouldn't have a tournament the week before that guys can still qualify for. Guys are still battling for those points. You could still get injured for if you're already in the finals and you happen to be playing that week, whatever the case may be. So, no, I don't think, no fault to Novak, no fault to anybody in that position. He wanted to play that tournament. Like you said, he owns a tournament. He lives there. Did he know prior to the event he wasn't going? Probably. But he's out there playing a normal week. It's scheduled on the tour. Definitely no fault to him for how that all played out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's no big deal, I don't think. I mean, Novak could do whatever he wants, but I feel like it is a little bit of a bummer for Lorenzo, because, like, you know, first finals he makes, and he's like in none of the photos, like none of the pre-week stuff. Like, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, he's playing Fritz right now while we're recording, just getting rocked, I think.
Yeah, like, you know,
5-2 last time I looked.
You know, it's brutal that he had to get there and was in none of the pre stuff, but yeah, next year they've changed that rule so it ends in Paris. But he tried to do it the hard way, qualify, and came up a little short, but ultimately gets in.
Yeah, thank God that next year they change it. And in Paris, have a week off. So if you do make the finals, you get to enjoy Jack, you were there. Like, the lead up, the photos, like all the stuff. There's so many great things about the event. And Musetti basically gets there on Sunday night, play Monday. You get to do none of the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Especially the chaos and everything for a long year on tour, like enjoy like 4 or 5 days of like where they pamper you, they treat you, like, and you get to enjoy like the fruits of your labor and working hard all year. Like, but yeah. I get that part of it, but
I feel like that's the only week that you're like, oh, this is a fun practice week.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. One more thing about Novak before we move on. That was his 101st title. Fed has 103 titles. I think he wants to pass Federer for most titles. Or just past Federer. I kind of starting to think that Novak wants that record, at least to jump Roger. Because everyone taught Roger, Rafa, Novak. It's the ongoing debate. It's just one more pillar that Novak can get if he knocks or if he jumps ahead of Roger at 103. That's like, oh, Novak's got him on that check mark too. You guys agree with that a little bit, or do you think it's not on his mind?
I mean, it just depends on what schedule he wants to play. He could easily pass him, I think, you know, if he wants to go play 250s.
Oh, but the question is, do you think that's something that he cares about?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? But Jack, you're with me. You think he does care about that. Sam?
Yes, I think, like, that. I honestly think, like, winning Athens, like, I think he would take a lot of pride in winning three more 250s even to pass Roger and have that just because the big three debate and everything is, for whatever reason, people still say Roger, even though, I mean, stats.
I still say Roger.
Yeah, I mean, still say Roger, but Novak wants to cement himself, I think, in that spot. So if that's another thing that he can tick off, you know, check another box to make him, you know, to people's eyes, you know, the best player of all time, then I think he's going to do it. So I think he cares a lot more about these stats and these like the history of tennis and the stats like that than he probably mentions.
Yeah, no, say I'm with Jack on this one totally.
He's got 24 majors. That's all he needs to know.
All right. Well, he might have 104 titles next year. All right. Let's Lerner Tien, talking about old guy from Novak going to young guy. Lerner Tien taking the Mets title. João Fonseca has been the teenage sensation all year. And Lerner's like been on his heels. In fact, he jumped him there for a little bit. Then Fonseca jumped him back when Fonseca won Basel. And now Leonard Tien winning Mets. He took out Cam Norrie in the final. It was weird. I was kind of following along the score. I believe Norrie was up 5-1 in the third set tiebreaker.
He was.
And then I, you know, I was like, oh, dang it. Like, Norrie, you know, not dang it, but like, Lerner's our boy. Like, he's going to lose. Good tournament. And then I looked 3 hours later. I was like, oh, my gosh. Lerner won 7-6 in the third. He's going to be ranked 28. He's going to be seeded at the Australian Open. Stevie, we used to play with him. Did you? I didn't look. Lerner's good. He looks like he's still got the baby fat on his face. He looks like he's 14 years old. He's ranked 28 in the world. Like, are you a little surprised that he had such an amazing year, or do you have this faith in Lerner?
No, I'm a little surprised he had. I mean, he was outside the top 100.
Yeah.
Right, and now he's going to be seeded in Australia. So what a year! I didn't think he had this in him this young. I mean, we all know how good he is. You know, he strikes the ball so clean. He's a lefty, which is annoying for everyone to play, and he just kind of quietly goes about his business. As you said, he's not like somebody that, you know, rides these like emotional highs and lows where he's gonna have, you know, a bad, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row because he's just upset, right? Like, he's just somebody that goes to work and he plays kind of the same every day, and he's a phenomenal tennis player. And I think the biggest difference for him in the last, you know, year and now the last like 4 or 5 months is having Michael Chang on the bag. I mean, that can only help you. Michael's tennis knowledge and IQ is extremely high. And when he locks his, you know, when he sinks his teeth into something, he is in 100%. So I think these guys are going to do big things. I don't know what Lerner has in store for next year because, I mean, you guys all know that second year after you have like a big one is always tricky. That like sophomore kind of campaign where you're, you know, defending points every week and guys know about your game. You're no longer a kind of a, you know, not a household name on tour. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. But Lerner's tennis, phenomenal. And to finish the year with a win like this, it's got to be incredible. I mean, what a feeling. You don't often get to win your last match of the season. So pretty cool.
Yeah, only three people are going to do it. I guess the team that wins Davis Cup. This is for a future episode, just came to my mind. I want to have a talk one day about coaching. Like, Michael Chang is such a good coach. Incredible with Nishikori, incredible with Lerner. Sometimes I feel like coaches, like, it, right now, let's say Jack worked with Sinner all of next year and Sinner stayed at number one or two in the world. Are people going to be like, Jack's a phenomenal coach? Or like, I feel like some of these coaches like start with guys when they're ranked like one and they just continue with them when they're one and they're like, just great coach. Anyway, that's for another debate. I always want to have that, like, are you a good coach or are you just working with a great player?
Yeah, I think coaching is so overrated in tennis, so I'm happy to dive into that.
We'll table that conversation.
Yeah, we're going to table it. All right. The suits are telling us to move on. They're so annoying at times. All right, everyone. This episode of Nothing Major is brought to you by Ghostbed. You wouldn't keep the same sneakers for 10 years, would you? So why are you still sleeping on that old mattress? Shopping for a new mattress might not sound fun, but Ghostbed makes it easy. Also, the name is Ghostbed. How cool is that? You start with the online mattress quiz. It's quick, simple, points you to the best option. What other mattress companies doing a quiz? Have some fun. Whether you want the contour of memory foam or maybe the bounce of a hybrid, Ghostbed's got everything you need. Every mattress is built with cooling tech, so you're not waking up all sweaty at 3 a.m. like I used to be. And they're backed by an industry-leading 20 to 25-year warranty. Think about that warranty. It's unbelievable. You'll get 101 nights to test it out at home. That's not 100 nights, 101 nights. If you don't love it, just send it back. But trust me, you're going to love it. Shipping is fast and free. Get your new Ghostbed in 2 to 5 days. I actually sleep on the Venus Williams Legend. It's cooler, more supportive, and honestly, I didn't know how bad my old bed was until I got on the new Venus Williams Ghost Bed. It's awesome. Right now, during Ghost Bed's Black Friday sale, you can get 25% off site-wide, even on already reduced prices. So if something is already reduced, it's reduced, and then you get another 25% off with the Nothing Major discount code. Just go to ghostbed.com/nothingmajor and use the promo code NOTHINGMAJOR at checkout. Upgrade your sleep with Ghost Bed, the coolest beds in the world. Some exclusions apply. See the site for details. All right, we got Venus Williams taking a wild card into Auckland beginning of the year. Again, Monday, just a packed Monday on the show. She is 45 years old. She's been playing pro tennis longer than any WTA top 30 player has been alive. Pegula's 31, the oldest in top 30. I thought maybe she was going to be done. Jack, do you think she's going to play Auckland? She took the wild card. Do you think she'll play Auckland? And let me put the over under at 5 tournaments for Venus next year. What are you taking? The over, under, she plays 5 events.
She did have wild cards into like Indian Wells and that, and then turned them down.
But does this mean she's playing Australia too?
I think maybe she,
there's no way they give her a wild card down there.
Maybe she loves it down there. Wants like a little, awesome little vacation. Wants to go down under and play some tennis and enjoy a little time down there in the sun in the Aussie summer. But yeah, that's wild. I can't imagine going back to Auckland even at 33 and playing. So
yeah, could you imagine 12 years from now, you're like, suck, wild card in Auckland?
Yeah, what? No. That's
incredible.
With a hip replacement? And no, thank you.
It is incredible. Breaking news. My wife just texted me and said Sebastian Korda got engaged.
Oh.
We're going to verify that as we keep going. All right, let's go to the ATP finals now.
Well, she's like our little ticker, breaking news ticker.
We need a breaking ticker on the bottom.
Blow his spot up today.
Wow. All right, here we go. ATP finals just started yesterday. We got the Jimmy Connors group with Alcaraz, Fritz, Demonour, and Musetti. We got the Bjorn Borg group with Sinner, Zverev, Shelton, and Felix. As we know, yesterday, Alcaraz took out Demonour, and Zverev took out Shelton. I'm going to start with the Shelton-Zverev match, Stevie. It was a doozy. 2 tight sets. Shelton serving 6-3 in the second set tiebreaker. Loses both those points on his serve, then goes on to lose the match. Shelton hasn't been Shelton since he's come back from that shoulder injury at the U.S. Open, but he did look pretty good, even though he lost that match. Which group do you find tougher, Stevie? That Jimmy Connors group with Alcaraz or the Bjorn Borg group led by Sinner? Because there's one group that I feel like is obviously the tougher group.
Yeah, I think the Borg group is tougher just based on firepower and resume. But this is kind of one of those things where, like, you know, for Sasha, it's a good matchup for him. Like, I mean, we're obviously spitting hairs here, but I mean, Shelton has got so much firepower on the serve.
Yeah.
But Sasha's got a great return. If he can get, withstand a ball or two on the serve, like once they start getting into these rallies, I just don't know where Ben consistently can beat him from the ground in that format. But, you know, with Ben's serve, as long as he's up and he's dominating and getting those first, second balls and really getting after points, like that's where he's going to be successful. And, you know, I would have loved to seen a third set. It's unfortunate that he had 2 set points on his serve and didn't capitalize. But for Sasha, he looked healthy, which is good for him, right? I mean, he didn't look good in Paris at the end. We saw how that ended. But, he served well. He played well. I thought Sasha played well. His game, when he plays well, can beat 99% of the guys on tour, right? Like, I believe that. I think almost everybody else believes that as well. But for him, he's going to have to up his game to beat the guys that he needs to beat. So I like him to obviously get out of his pool, out of this group, and then we'll see what happens. But I thought it was a fun match, and I think it's great to see Shelton on that stage with his firepower and his like electricity. It's a ton of fun to see him at the finals playing and competing.
Are you guys, before I go to Jack and the Alcaraz match, if it's not Alcaraz, Fritz, Sinner, Zverev getting out of both the pools, are you guys going to be surprised? Because I am. I think it's like so obvious that it's like those 4 guys getting out of the pools.
I'll be very surprised.
I'll be shocked if it's someone other than those 4.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right, let's. Alcaraz takes out. Who did Alcaraz beat? Demonour. He was up 4-1, love 40, about to go up 5-1. Then it got a little hairy in that first set, got to 4-3, 30-all, takes him out 7-6, 6-1. I feel like Alcaraz kind of needed like a 2-set win over a top 10 guy. Pulled out of Shanghai and then took Stevie.
He needed it?
Give me a look.
Sorry.
He hasn't won a match in a long time. He hasn't won a match since Tokyo.
Since 16 slams.
But anyway, he pulled out of Shanghai. Then he didn't play the 500 week. Then he lost first round of Paris. Got to Turin. Like, I don't know. And he kind of battled the first set. How did Alcaraz look? Stevie, this question is for Jack, not you.
Thank you. I thought he looked great. I mean, other than a couple game hiccup at 4-1, love 40, I watched a bunch of the replay, I thought he looked kind of scary, like scary good. I think Demonour battles a lot of people in that whole event the way he played. Losing 6-1 without the hiccup basically gets routined pretty quickly. I thought Alcaraz looked very scary. I thought he looked like he was moving incredible. I guess, as always, hitting the ball incredible as always. So I think he's, I think he's ready to go this week. I think he's gonna be a very tough out, as we know. But yeah, I thought it was a very just straightforward, great match by Carlos.
I don't have the stats in front of me. I think he had 11 backhand winners.
Yeah, he was nuking the ball.
The backhand was on fire.
Yeah, 11 backhand winners. That's a good season for me.
Yeah, it's when he's doing that. Unbelievable.
He's moving a couple of those points. Did you see a couple of those? His moving was even more spectacular than normal.
He's hands down the best mover currently on the tour, right?
I think he's the most exciting mover.
Yeah, and I think Demon Hour is right behind and probably in quickness, but
yeah, Carlos would be more explosive. He can
but his intangibles are obviously just off the chart compared to those guys. So when he gets there, he can hit a winner with from nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll keep everyone on Friday. We'll as we get to the Friday show, we'll keep everyone updated with the year end. Right now, we've got Alcaraz 1-0 in pool play. Zverev 1-0 in pool play. Matches going on throughout the week, so we'll be back to talk about that on Friday. Race to number one, Carlos and Yannick. We hit on this the other day. Basically, if Carlos, there's so many scenarios, it's hard to go over this.
Yeah, you can't.
If he wins all three his matches in round robin play, it's done. He's got enough.
He's
points.
Done. At this point, he's got to beat Musetti, which he's going to be a heavy favorite,
Fritz.
And Fritz, which he'll be a favorite. But then also, if he doesn't do that, Yannick has to win everything, right? He's got to win the ATP Finals undefeated, yep. And Alcaraz loses. So instead of going over the nine different scenarios, just if Alcaraz gets out of pool play, he's ending the year number one. Let's stick to that. If that doesn't happen, we'll regroup on Friday and go over some scenarios.
We'll get you a big board, Kornacki, and you'll break it down for us on Friday's show.
You got to give Carlos the 95% chance to end the year number one at the moment.
I think it's maybe just getting higher and higher more with every day that passes.
Yeah. Let's talk about this WTA Finals. Rybakina,
5 million.
Had a semifinal in Tokyo the week before just to get in, and then rolls the table, takes home $5.23 million. Along the way, she took out Sabalenka, then Pagula, then Alexandrova, then Swiatek, then... Sorry, I read that backwards. She took out Anamasova. Got it right. Then Swiatek, then Alexandrova, and then Pagula in the semis and Sabalenka in the finals. Over 500 aces this year. First female player to do that since 2016. It's, Stevie, we all know this. It's kind of dangerous. It's like playing Musetti right now, although he's getting crushed. Playing a guy coming in with a lot of confidence, she's obviously coming in having semifinal Tokyo and then pulled out, but then she just rolled through the draw. Rybakina looked incredible.
I'm telling you, dude, when we were all, you around, calling matches those weeks, everyone was basically saying they want, I would assume if you would have pulled the other seven women in this draw, they would have much preferred Mira Andreeva in this draw over Rybakina. This is weeks ago, right? A dangerous aspect of how well she can play. She's a slam winner, and she proved it. She got in, and she went undefeated. She gets in on the last week of the year and absolutely steamrolls the draw. And, 5-0 undefeated, north of $5 million. It's a pretty damn good way to end a season and finish on a high note. She was playing phenomenal.
Yeah.
I thought Jess had a good chance in the semis, but... that third set kind of just got away from... it's you never know what's going to happen, but she just looked strong. The serve was amazing, as it always is, and the return was good. So, thought it was a great final as well with Sabalenka, and she just got outplayed.
You find it crazy, Jack, that Sabalenka clearly the best player in the world this year, right?
Yeah.
Clearly. She never won a slam, never won the year in finals. So, the five biggest events of the year...
Hold on. She did win a slam.
My bad. She won the U.S. Open.
U.S. Open.
Stop it, guys. Just stop it.
What do you mean? I'm trying to keep you honest here.
Edit this segment out. My bad. You're right. I was going to say, is it crazy that she only won?
John. All right, never mind. John. We're going to keep the segment in. Okay.
All right. Keep it in. I forgot she won the U.S. Open. My bad. It is pretty crazy that she only won one of the five biggest events then and is clearly the best player in the world. Usually you could almost make an argument that Keys or Coco or Rybakina, but she was dominant, but then in also a weird way, not that dominant.
What do you think it is, Sam? She was in four of the five biggest finals and the other semi at Wimbledon. What was she missing Did she just get outplayed in the finals, or was it just like nerves?
I don't think
or?
It's anything. I just think it's a coincidence she didn't win another one. And then next year, maybe she wins two of them. But I don't think there was anything that was like, oh, she's nervous or she didn't play well in the big moments.
She was rolling in the French, was she not?
She was. And then she came across Coco in that final when it was really windy. And like, I feel like for her too, when the ball's moving everywhere, she's not someone that necessarily has that like plan B kind of game where she's going to throw in the high, heavy one. She's just going to keep hitting big. And Coco is so mentally strong and like bad conditions are double faulty. And that's how Coco won the one Roland Garros over her. But I don't know. I'm not surprised if Sabalenka wins like three majors next year.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think she's got outplayed in the finals and the semis, excuse me, of Wimby.
Totally. All right. I think that's what we got. We are doing a little, we've been tracking Maldives players, just so everyone knows. We've got a working list. We're bringing on a Maldives specialist next Monday.
Our Maldives chief correspondent.
We were going to talk about it today, but I think we want another like 5-6 days for people to pop up, right? And see who else is going to go to the Maldives.
Next Monday will be the big one.
We need an Ethnic Major flight tracker to the Maldives.
Yeah, I can tease people with this. I have just part of the 2024 people that went to the Maldives. Casper Ruud, Pliskova, Shapovalov, Davidovich Fokina, Lehechka, Swiatek, Humbert, Kerber, Bartoli, Georges, Kulhoff. Those are just last year's Maldives people.
Kulhoff.
We've got a list building this year. As we know, Sabalenka already mentioned she's going. Yep. It's crazy that there's not like another vacation spot that
there isn't one, apparently.
And then we're also teasing. We're also going to talk about, I think on Friday, Daniel Collins. I don't know if you guys followed it. Phenomenal player. I'm not going to say friend of the pod, but we're fans. She is actively looking for a husband. She has been talking about it on social media. I think on Friday, we're going to do a little segment. We're hoping to take some applicants. We want to get some good quality men for her. We're going to review them, maybe get 4 or 5, then bring Danielle on and be like, look, we've screened for you. We've got some good eligible bachelors that we're hoping you can maybe marry. And we'll see where that goes.
Should we do a bachelor bracket and have the get all the way to the end to go on the date with her?
That would be unbelievable. Like a little Q&A and like, yeah, like but a, and anyway, yeah. I'm not going to ask her to come on until we know we have like 4 or 5 good. Do you know if you're just a quality dude? Don't be sending your resume if
we'll
if
sniff
you're
that
not
out immediately.
Daniel Collins quality, you know? So anyway, we're going to dive into that on Friday too. It's going to be good. All right. You guys got anything else or we're good to go?
Yeah, no. Good week. Finals is going. Guys are playing well. But it looks like 4 guys are going to get out pretty handedly.
It sure does. We'll be back on Friday. All right, we're Nothing Major Show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Pod. Do you think new listeners ever like listen to us rant at that at the end? They're like, oh, I should go to Spotify and hit subscribe. Do you think that ever works?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll keep doing it. Apple, yeah. Spotify, wherever you listen to stuff, just hit that subscribe button. Apparently it does work. And we'll see you guys in 4 days. All right. See ya.